Welcome to the podcast of New Creation Christian Center. I am Pastor Marquise Franklin, and I am excited that you would take the time to listen to our latest sermons and what God is doing in this ministry. New Creation Christian Center is in Seattle, led by Pastor Harold and Annis Franklin. And our statement is, come as you are and be transformed by the word of God, as stated in 2 Corinthians 5:17. Now, I don't know what you're going through, but I want you to be encouraged by the word of God that is going to be shared today. Check it out and share it with somebody that may need it. Now, let's get into this week's message.
You matter of fact, God had a goal when he created you, right? God had a goal when he created the world. Matter of fact, his goal was to create the world in 6 days and on the seventh rest. So he had a goal in mind. Many times, I said this slightly yesterday, people get saved and they think, oh, my only goal is just to make it into heaven. Amen. And I'm just waiting on God. Have you heard anybody say that before? I'm just waiting for the Lord to come get me. This world is a mess. God, come get me. I need to get out of here. No, there's a reason why you are here. And the more you are in tune with God, the more that he shows you the goals that he has for your life. Amen. So I'm going to open up with my theme scripture. It is Philippians 3. Verse 12 through 14. Go ahead and pull that up for me, Mike. It says this, as he's pulling it up, it says, not that I've already attained or am already perfected, but I press on. Somebody say press on. That I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. One more verse. Which are ahead. Amen. And it says, I press. Somebody say press. Toward the goal. Say the goal. For the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Now, Paul is specifically talking about his goal to reach and share the gospel, right? But I think we have to take this mindset into all the things that God has for us. Now, Paul's assignment that God had placed on his life, even though Paul fought against it. See, this is the thing about it. And I didn't even talk about this yesterday. We fight so much against the things that God has naturally put inside of us. We look at it and be like, God, I might not be good enough, though. You know, we get into the place where we doubt, we worry, we allow fear, anxiety, all the different things to challenge our mind on the gifts that God has already given us. So we're trying to figure it out. We're trying to figure it out. Oh, I don't know if I'm gonna make it, But see, we cannot allow those things to stop us because God has placed inside of you certain gifts already. Amen. So the three things that I talked about yesterday, just a brief recap, was to set goals. We must set goals, right? Anybody have goals right now? Goals that you want to achieve? I told some of them, some of the people here, go home, write some goals, set them up. Look at them, too. I look at my goals. I have them on my wall. There's a wall in my room, and it's just filled with goals. These are the goals I'm trying to get through this year. And this is the thing. Even when you set goals, that doesn't mean every goal is going to be set. But I'm like, man, if I can get 70, I actually have a pretty long goal list. So if I can get 70%, I feel like I'm pretty good, okay? But also, so let's say we set goals. Some of us is to exercise. It might be to eat healthy, meet new friends, right? Achieve something that I've never achieved. Anybody got a goal like that? I really want to do something I've never done. I think Monica just did that. She got her driver's license, right? I mean, that's a goal that you set, though, right? And even though it took time, she achieved that goal. Now, when she got really close to the goal, like most of us, when we get close to something, we start getting a laser focus on that, right? Because, okay, it's there. I can do it now. I believe that I can get it done, right? So you have to set the goals, but then you also must stick to your goals. Tell your neighbor, stick to your goals. All right? And see, I think it's good to stick to your goals, but also have people that's going to help you be accountable, right? Now, me and, Chris knows, I'm doing these push-ups, and my wife and my son do them with me. and they don't do as many as me, but they do half, and that's good enough, right? But every day we get home, we're like, hey, did you do your push-ups? If not, okay, cool. Well, let's get it done. We got to get it done. So we would actually be in the living room each doing our push-ups together. So it makes it a lot easier when that somebody is there to hold you accountable and help you stick to your goals. Amen? It makes it a lot easier. Next, complete your goals. Somebody say complete your goals. It's very important that you don't start a whole bunch of things and just leave things not finished. I think some of the old church folks said, don't, something with your work undone. What is it? What did they say? Anyway, don't leave a whole bunch of work undone. There's a certain way that the church folks used to say it. I can't remember it right now. But it's important for us to finish things that we start. I was telling the people I have a goal to read 12 books this year. Last year I told people I probably read 3 books outside the Bible. I read the Bible every day. But I was like, I want to read more books this year. So I have these books, and I figured out how to do it. What I do, I simply take my books and leave them in my car. Once my kids are in school, I sit there for 10 minutes and just read as much as I can in 10 minutes. That way, I'm actually going to make sure I read these books. Now, I'm halfway done with my goal this year. School year just started back up. That's when I read the most of the books. So I got one book. I'll be done with it this week as I continue to read. But there's something about making sure you complete them. There's something, I don't know about you, I get excited when I complete things in my life. Amen? So I'm going to say this. We're going to get going today on God and goals. And some people have a hard time knowing if their goals are from God, right? Have you ever had that question? God, is this goal something that pleases you? God, is this goal something that you would be happy with, right? And, you know, some people will be like, well, if I'm not worshiping God, praising God, or singing or doing something unto God, is that okay? Yes, God is giving you good things. The Bible talks about it in Philippians chapter 4. It says, meditate on good things, on whatever is pure, whatever is holy, whatever is, you know, good. Meditate on these things, right? When you think about that, there is good things that God has in your life. But the key is never allow those good things to outweigh the God things. Amen. So you can have good goals, but if it takes all your time and you no longer are spending time with your family, you are no longer spending time with God. Now that goal becomes what we would call an idol in your life. Right. And it's very important that we do not allow those things to happen in our life. Amen. So one of the things that I read in the scripture, it says in Proverbs 19:21, there are many plans in a man's heart. Nevertheless, the Lord's counsel or his plans, they will stand. Have you ever started something in your life and then God was like, nah, that's not it. I got something else for you. Right. See, many times we have plans and or maybe people around you, we like, I don't know if that's really what you want to do. And some people start a whole bunch of things, like I said, but there may be a reason why God allows you to start it. But then he's trying to show you, just trust me. Right. It might be a good idea, but it in that moment is not a God idea. And how many of you know that sometimes it's not just the goal. Sometimes it's the timing of the goal. Right. Some of us want to I know some people would love to get married. But if you rush into marriage and unfortunately marry the wrong person, what begins to happen is it was a good idea, but it wasn't God's idea and it wasn't the correct time. Unfortunately, I've been married now for not unfortunately that I've been married, but while I've been married for 15 years, almost 15 years. But unfortunately, I've seen other marriages that were people that were married around the same time and their marriages didn't last. And it's for a whole bunch of different reasons. I'm not here to point fingers at anybody. But what it really came down to is they weren't ready. They'll tell you, I wasn't really ready. I was rushing. I was trying to please other people. I even heard God tell me not to do it. Like, I hear all this stuff and I'm like, wow. But what happens when you rush into things, it keeps you from seeing what God wants you to actually be. Amen. Now, I'll tell you this. All things are redeemable by God. I definitely believe that. Even if you rush into things, God is able to turn things around for his glory. Amen. You might have to go through some counseling. You might have to get some more training. You might have to learn some different things. But God is able to redeem all things. But it says, once again, there are many plans in a man's hearts. Nevertheless, the Lord's counsel that will stand. So what? How do I make sure my goal is something that God is cool with? I have to seek him. See, I write these goals down, but I also pray over them and say, God, let me know if these goals are something that you want me to do. You know, I have a goal. I would love to start investing into different types of investments. And I have actually the exact type of investments I want to invest in at my house on the wall. But I'm like, God, if it's not the time, let me know. Right. How many have stock? Anybody have stock in here? Few people? Nobody? Okay, thank you. Stock. Some of us have stocks. Now, the great thing about stocks is over time, they usually generate income, right? But other times, maybe going up and down, right? Let me tell you my stock story. When Facebook came out with stock, everybody was like, yeah, get the stock. Facebook is coming out. So I bought it when it came out, and that thing dropped fast. And I was like, oh, my goodness. Oh, man, I don't know why I bought this stock. And I would watch it like almost every other day. So then I was like, man, look, once I get back to where I put the money that I put in, I'm getting out of this thing because I don't know what's going to happen, right? So I took it out. Now, unfortunately, when I took it out, 3 years later, it tripled in the amount that it made, right? And I was like, oh, man, because I don't know how stock works all the way. You know, we don't know how we can assume, but nobody really knows, because if somebody really knew, everybody would have stock in the same thing. But that's how our life is at times. Our life is full of ups and downs, but God knows our future. Amen. He knows it. So we have to say, God, show me the way. Amen. I also believe that it's important for us when we are achieving the goals that God has for us to be diligent, right? In your diligence, not only does it speak to God, because God has called you to be a good steward over what he's given you, amen, but it also speaks to those that are around you. Have anybody ever worked a job and while you were at that job, they were like, wow, this person is diligent. I love the way you work. Precious keeps coming home. Man, my manager, she's so excited about me. And I'm like, well, babe, you're a great wife too. Amen. You're a great mother. Good God, I don't know what I'll do without you. Because I want her to know that she's just as valuable at the house as she is at her job. Amen. But one thing I will say is many times our diligence will produce something in our life. Even if that goal doesn't come out and turn out the way that you thought it would, your diligence produces something in you. So we must be diligent. The Bible says this in Proverbs 21:5. It says, the plans of the diligent lead surely to plenty, but those of everyone who is hasty, surely to poverty. See, this is why when you set goals for your life, you don't just be like, okay, oh yeah, I want to make $500,000 this year. All right, cool. And then I want to lose 50 pounds. And then I want to do it. But how are you going to do it? Right? Now, if you're going to make 500K, praise the Lord. But there has to be a way that you are setting it up to make it happen. Yesterday, I talked about it. Don't just set goals. Also set how you're going to attain them. So like I said, for me reading the books, it wasn't just, I want to read 12 books. It was like, okay, how am I going to do this? I'm going to take 10 minutes every day. I drop my kids off. I mean, if the kids go to school, what, 200 days a year, something like that. You know, you just count the 10 minutes. That's 10 minutes times 200 is what? Somebody help me. How many minutes is that? 2,000 minutes. Okay, I'm logging 2,000 minutes while I read, right? So in doing that, I should be able to get to that number amount of books. So what I'm saying is there is goals that God has placed inside of you. And maybe you're one of the people that have not set goals in your life. You feel like, OK, I'm at this age and I don't know if I really have to have goals. No, God still has a goal for you as long as you are here. There is a purpose that God has placed you here for, and it is your job to say, okay, God, the Bible says when I'm weak, he makes me strong. So it says, even in my weakness, you make me strong. So God, help me to be strong to complete everything you've placed me here for. Amen. We also have to look at, as Pastor Richard Ishmael said, he said, the why. Why do you do things? I listen to Eric Thomas. He's a motivational speaker. And, man, he's so funny. But he'd be like, why are you doing what you're doing? And, I mean, he'll motivate you. If you guys haven't seen him, he was a homeless guy at one point, and he talks about that a lot and how he had to change his mindset to actually just go get it. He wakes up at 3 o'clock in the morning to pray, and he talks about why he does that. I got to get with the Creator. That's what he says every time. I'm up at 3 a.m. And, you know, he goes to bed early, too. So that's on him. I don't go to bed quite early enough to wake up at 3 a.m. Amen. But that was his goal that he set. Right. But he motivates people to continue to push to be the best that they can be. Not only when you have goals, does it help you, but it also motivates somebody else. Right.
We're just halfway through this sermon. But our prayer is that God is already speaking a dynamic word to you personally. But don't keep it to yourself. We need you to testify. We want to hear what God is doing. Give us a call or text us at 425-686-8197 to let us know what God is doing. If you're on Facebook, contact us at facebook.com/newcreationcc or on Twitter at newcreationwa. Now, let's tune in for the second half of this sermon.
Chris, you have many goals, even as you are as a lawyer. There's different goals. I heard there's a new goal that you have, and you just is it cool if I share with the NFL thing? So he signed up to be an NFL agent, right? That was a goal of his for a while. I remember you talking about it, and he was like, yeah, I'm looking forward to doing that. So he actually took that step. Now, when you see somebody take that step, what does that do to you? It encourages you. It motivates you to be like, man, okay, that's dope. Chris set it in his heart to do this right here. And now we're going to see what he's doing, right? It's okay. It stays on. But we have to have diligence in what we do to help somebody else continue to get to where they are. Amen. So the why is, why are we doing what we do? Number one, we need to do whatever we do as believers should glorify God. That's how you know your goal is consistent with what God has for you, right? How does my goal glorify God? Number one, if I am doing something that it might not even be church related, can people still see the light in what I do, right? Now, if your goal is just to make money and you're like, I'm gonna cheat, steal, and kill if I have to get it, that's not a goal that God wants you to have. There's going to be times where you're going to have to be like, oh, I can't take that money. Why? Because I want to glorify God in it. Even in saying that to some people could change their lives. Right. And I've seen it. I tell people I don't allow money to be changed. I don't allow friendships to be changed by money. I don't allow money to dictate that much for me. Now, money's a tool, but it's a horrible what? Master. Right. Some people will do everything they can for a dollar. When you realize it's just a dollar, you're just like, man, first of all, I mean, I tell my kids be like, oh, you got $20. Ooh, I'm rich. I'd be like, wait a little bit. I mean, I remember the one time I had like $40,000 in my account. I was like, ooh, I made it. And then that money dwindled quick. I was like, dang, that's crazy. 40. I mean, as you get older, you start saying, okay, look, over my lifetime, I've made over $1 million. When you start looking at it and thinking about it, right? And you're like, wow. But the key is not allowing the money to change you. I remember my mom used to tell me she could tell if I was broke or not by how I talked to her. And I was like, I got to change that. I cannot allow my bank account to affect how I talk to people. That was a goal of mine. And now my mom don't know. She has no clue. She be trying to borrow some money. Hey, I don't got nothing right now, mom, but it's okay. Hallelujah. Right? But we must honor God in the goals that we have. Matthew 25, 14 through 30. This is my theme scripture. And then I have two small passages after that. But we want to go to that. Once again, Matthew 25, 14 through 30. Can you guys pull that up for me? And this is talking about the talents. Somebody say talents. God gave gifts of talents, and I don't believe that word was used on accident, right? I believe that talents was actually money back then, but your talents also can be money for you. Amen? So I believe this. God has given each and every one of us talents, and those talents that we have are essential to us becoming all that God has for us. Right? Some people's talent may be baking. And you might do that. If you, whatever you do, the Bible says this in Colossians 3:23, whatever you do, do it unto the Lord. Whatever you do, somebody say, whatever I do, do it unto God. So Bella, when you're playing soccer or whatever you're doing, do it unto God. Amen. I tell my son all the time, when you're out there, Kayla, when you're out there, do everything you can unto God. You're not here to please me. You're not here to please the fans. You're here to please God. Right? When you go to your job, when you are starting up a business, right? When Sister Jane is making the soaps or whatever Unique is designing, when she's making the hats, whatever you do, do it unto God. Amen. Let's read this. It says, for the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. Somebody say his goods. Now, this story is about, it's just Jesus is sharing a parable. When this person is giving, this person that is giving, that is who? God. And it says his gifts. We always must remember that everything that God gives you is from him. Right? Every talent that I have is his. So when people are like, hey, Marquise, you did a great job. Praise God. Because the Bible says all gifts come from God. Amen. Verse 15, it says, and the one he gave five talents and another two and to another one, to each according to his own ability. Catch that. See, some of us, we want the talents that somebody else has, but you're not able to maintain those. See, somebody can look, why did one person get five, one, two, and one get another? How come God doesn't just give everybody the same? Right? Wouldn't that be fair? No. Why? Because people are not able to handle that. Right? For example, on Thanksgiving, we all make different size plates. I think it would be a problem if we were like, everybody gets the same size plate, and Marcel is eating the same amount as me. I just said me, just in case. Right? Marcel can't handle that. I mean, just imagine if he ate, and I don't even eat that much. I used to, like, eat and get stuffed and can't move. I hate that feeling. So I was like, that would never happen again. Right? And I want to eat a little bit here. You know, some people only eat one time on Thanksgiving. I'm like, I like to eat at least two or three times, like a normal day. So when I eat here, I'm going to eat a little bit, and then I, you know, go to my parents' house, and I can eat a little bit, and I can still be able to move and function. Amen? Cool. I'm good with that. But why does God not give everybody the same thing? Because they can't handle it. And here's the cold thing about it on the flip side. Even though the gifts that God has given, some people can't handle it, the gifts God gave to you, nobody else can use. Nobody else can do with them what you can. Yeah, I said this in one of my songs. If everybody look at your hand real quick, you got fingerprints, you got all kind of different things on your hand. Nobody in the world has the same fingerprints. Nobody in the world has the same prints on them at all that you do. Not even your parents, not even twins, right? Not anybody close. Why? Because God has specially designed each and every one of us. And every gift that he has given, he's given it especially to you so you can do something unique that nobody else can do with it. Amen? But it says to each according to his own ability, and immediately he went on his journey. So God gave these gifts, and then he left. Somebody say he left. All right, so he left you with these gifts, but now let's see what happens. Then he who had received the 5 talents went and traded with them and made another 5. So he was fruitful with what he had. Next verse. And likewise, he who had received 2 gained 2 more also. But he who had received 1 went and dug in the ground and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants came and settled accounts with them. And we're going to keep going all the way through 25. So he who had received 5 talents came and brought 5 other talents, saying, Lord, you delivered to me 5 talents. Look, I have gained 5 more talents besides them. And let's see what God says. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of the Lord. All right. He also who had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, you delivered to me 2 talents. Look, I have gained 2 more talents besides them. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. Amen. And then it says, then he who had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I know you are a hard man, reaping where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. And I was afraid and went and hid your talent in the ground. Look, there is what. I'm sorry, we're going to keep going through verse 30. Look, there you have what it is. But his Lord answered and said to him, you wicked and lazy servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. So you ought to have deposited my money with the bankers, right? And at my coming, I would have received back my own with interest. So take the talent from him who and give it to him who has 10 talents. See, and some people will be like, wait, what about the guy with the 2 or the 5 or the 4? Why can't he give it? Why? Because God will reward those who are diligent. Amen. He also says he will. It says at the end of those verses, once they multiply it, he says he who was faithful with the little, he will make ruler over much. See, sometimes we're like, God, I want to be just like that person over there who's constantly working. Ah, man, I don't know if you want that, because it's a lot of stewarding that goes with that. And really what stewarding means is a lot of work, right? I look at a lot of sports. I like Steph Curry. He's a basketball player. But people don't realize Steph Curry puts in so much work in the offseason because he's a smaller guy. And I watch some of his workouts, and I'm just like, wow, that's intense. You know, and see, maybe that's why we like sports so much, because the whole goal of a sport is to score goals, right? But it's also to win. And you do everything you can to win. But we got to be like that about our lives, amen? So he said, give it to him who has 10 talents. 2 more verses. And for to everyone who has, more will be given, and he will have abundance. But from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away. Last verse, it says, and cast the unprofitable, somebody say unprofitable, servant into outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Now, somebody might say, man, my goals really don't matter. But if I read that right there, it really does matter. Everything God has given you matters. Somebody say, what he's given matters. So we have to be willing to use it. Why? Because God is requiring something from you. Amen? God requires work. God requires you to be somebody in this life. He requires you to leave your fingerprints on this world. All right? The last verse I'll read, it says, commit your works to the Lord, and your thoughts will be established. That's in Proverbs 16:3. Commit your works to the Lord. While you are continuing in your goals, continue to commit everything to God. And even when you're a free agent, say, God, how can I commit this to you? Or while you're an agent, not a free agent. As you sign free agents, right? But say, God, allow me to commit this to you. Tamron, when you're doing the play, say, God, I want to commit even what I do out here to you so people can be excited. My favorite thing about sports is the athletes that love God and they use their platforms. I'm reading a devotional right now about faith, family, and football, and it has different athletes, different commentators. They're sharing why they believe something. It might be like a minute clip, but it shows that they stand for God. And if I know a career person is a believer and they score and they like, hallelujah, thank you, man, I get teary-eyed sometimes. Because I'm like, man, they're using what they have to glorify God. Amen? Everything God has given you, use it to glorify him. That's how you can make sure you're on the right page. Amen? So we're talking God and goals, or goals and God. Make sure you do everything you can to glorify him with what he's given you. Amen? All right, Heavenly Father, I thank you to God for your word. I pray to God that you would be glorified through what we said today, dear God. I pray to God that this would impact somebody, dear God, that they would be urged to move forward, dear God, in life, dear God, that they would be a good steward over everything that you've placed in their hands, oh God. In the mighty name of Jesus, we give your name the honor, the glory, and the praise. In Jesus' name, somebody say, amen, amen. We are dismissed. My mom has some announcements. She'll do the announcements, I guess.
We thank you for listening to today's sermon, and we pray that you are impacted to become the new creation that God desires. We at New Creation Christian Center invite you to come join us for service Saturday at 7 p.m. or Sunday at 11 a.m. located at 5150 South Cloverdale Street, Seattle, Washington. Also, feel free to visit us online at newcreationwa.org. New Creation Christian Center, the path to genuine life, where you can come as you are and be transformed by the Word of God.